Good morning. Brother David sends his greetings and blessings on you. He's not feeling well this morning. He called me just after I pulled in. Said he wasn't going to be here. So here I am. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, your will be done. Help us to follow you and do your will faithfully. Thank you for being good to us, each of us, all of us here today. Help those who aren't here. Please help Brother David heal him according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at some parables of Jesus here. The first one we'll look at starts talking about it in verse 24. Where it says, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And he let them both grow, and then gathered up and separated them at the end. Then he talks about the mustard seed and the leaven. Then in verse 36, he explains the parable of the tares. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. In these three parables here, or four actually, the tares and the hidden treasure in the field and the pearl of great price, and the dragnet. If you'll see some common things in these, in the verse 38 it says, the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And then in the hidden treasure, it says, treasure hid in the field. And then it says, in the verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And then the 44, this mount found, man found treasure in a field and hid it again. And then the dragnet there, the verse 47, cast into the sea. The dragnet's cast in the sea, or the net, into the sea. And growing up, I'd heard these parables, and I'd heard that when someone is seeking Christ, he is, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. And Christ was likened unto that treasure hid in a field. Because it says a man found it, and he sold all that he had and bought that field. And that has its working in the way we, in our process, the process of our minds thinking about Christ. And it's a good idea how this is. And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. But when he stumbles upon this one, upon Christ, it's of great value. And he sold all the rest and he bought it. He gave up everything to follow the Lord. And that has its real meaning in our lives. But I thought, what if it's the other way around? What if this man is Jesus? Because he says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field. And he just said the field is the world, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And that got me thinking a lot about it, and also about the pearl of, I believe in the King James says, of great price. What if the merchant is Christ, and the church is the pearl? And because in the whole scheme of things, God has looked to the earth and tried to, I don't want to say God tried to do something as though but he set aside a people for his name, and the Israelites, and that was not a failure. It kind of looks that way if you just look at it from a physical standpoint there. He had his nation of Israel, and they kept turning against him and over and over and over, but what he accomplished through that was Christ, and that's what he intended to accomplish through it. I wrote a poem about this topic, and I'll just read that now. It says, "And was that merchant seeking pearls who found that one of greatest worth, the same who gave all he possessed to buy for heaven the best of earth? And that one who found hid in a field a treasure he sold all to gain, was this not he who made all things, yet with his blood bought them again? O Son of Man and Son of God, who with that one transaction made, betrothed to thee the church, thy bride, both ransom and the dowry paid. Now waits this bride on thy return while treading this terrestrial ground, and by the earnest of thy grace has she that strength celestial found. Have you ordained these waiting years, fightings within and fears without, our troubles mixed with toil and tears, to build our faith neath clouds of doubt? And could it be that you have planned the chaff of chaos and unrest is but to burn away the dross and fuel the fire within our breast?" The story's half has not been told of his great love for lost mankind. For in our quest to seek our God, O wondrous thought that we should find, the search was duly occupied. For though we labored, strove, and fought, will not the story then be told? 'Twas he who sought and found and bought. It says here that upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I feel that the Lord loves the church so much that this is not a misuse of these verses, and I'm not so sure that they're not the exact intention in the first place. And the fish coming from the net cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. Isn't that beautiful? That's a picture of the church. Sure not the Jewish. That's basically one kind. It's not the Old Testament covenant. It's a picture of the new. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers. But the bad they threw away. So, what is our part in this? Well, we could talk about how wonderful it is that Jesus loves us so much. We could talk about how the mysteries of God's love for man, which it's definitely a mystery. We could talk about a lot of those things, but what about your part, my part? And this poem here says, we labored, strove, and fought. It seems that in our seeking God, he's seeking us. Paul said, I strive, I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Theology calls it synergism, working with God for a common ground or a common meet, not common ground, but a place of reconciliation. In other words, there are those that says God does it all and we just receive it. And others say we do it all because God's already done it. But I think of Michelangelo's picture of creation when God's reaching out, you know, and Adam is reaching for him with a frail and feeble existence. And God's strong arm is reaching out and they touch. And the idea that Jesus is seeking man is no stranger to our understanding of gospel truth because of the song we sang based on the scripture of 90 and 9, safe in the fold, and that Jesus goes and seeks the lost, and which we're to do as well, and we were and are the lost until we're with him and safe. And so I didn't have a lot to say this morning because I didn't have much time to think, but I thought, well, I have this. So, but that idea of Jesus seeking pearls, I mean, doesn't it just make sense? And God looked down to the earth that he created. I mean, about the parable where he let out his field to these gardeners or, you know, vineyard keepers, and he came looking. Where's it at? You know, where's the produce? What, you know, where's the fruit of what I've done? When Jesus saw the fig tree and there was no fruit on it, he cursed it. and it withered up right away. When the end of time comes and the stories of the talents, you know, what did you do with what you've been given? God is looking to what He's created for us to present ourselves as a treasure hid in a field. This earth is a field. It's just like a dirt. We're made of dirt. We're just dust. But will we be counted worthy to be considered treasure? Pearls are made by irritation. The oysters in the oyster through a piece grain of sand. But isn't that the way Christians are made? By being constantly just the struggles of life, making them, polishing them, making them bigger. The bigger the pearl, the more round, the more perfect it is, the more valuable it is. And this one was a pearl of great value. He went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. And that's a beautiful thought of what God thinks about the apple of His eye, the church. And I want to be a part of that with you. And I want to think properly about things. Sometimes I get pretty bogged down with just thinking about my part, our part, you know, doing this right and not doing that wrong, and doing rights and wrongs. You get kind of forget that. But God loved us. And God desires His people. He really does. I mean, if we like to come together and see each other, you know, one day out of the week, and encouraged by that, how much more does God desire us to be with Him? Remember Jesus prayed there in the garden, He said, that they may be with me where I am. He wants us with Him. That's what a family is. That's what a family does. And that's why it's such a treasure to Him. So we don't need to take it lightly. We don't need to make light of it. Of ourselves, of each other, of the church. Oh well, if I don't like this one, I'll just go to that one. That's not at all. That's not even in the equation what God's talking about. He's talking about a church. When you're a part of the church of Jesus Christ, you're part of something that is stronger than that. Something that's more resilient than just what somebody likes or doesn't like. That is so trivial. So low an estimation of the pearl of great price. God bless you. Any comments?
Yes, could you read that stanza in your poem again where it talks about the earnest, grace being the earnest?
O Son of Man and Son of God, who with that one transaction made, betrothed to thee the church, thy bride, both ransom and the dowry pay, which that's a little bit of a, that right there, that thought's a little contradicting, but He helped us pay that as well. Now waits this bride on thy return while treading this terrestrial ground, and by the earnest of thy grace has she that strength celestial found. Well, celestial means heavenly strength. Strength from heaven. He gave the earnest of His Spirit to us. It's like when you buy something but you're not going to collect it yet, and you've made an agreement to purchase something, you give someone earnest money. That's like when you go buy a house, oftentimes they want $500 escrow money or whatever. That shows that you mean this. You're not going to back out. If you do, you lose your $500. God, Christ, gave the earnest of his spirit to the church. He gave a little of himself to the church, and that so that we could operate. He gave us plenty to operate now, but he gave of himself. He gave the earnest of his spirit, the Bible says. And that gives us the strength to see enough of what we need to see, to live enough of what we need to live in this life. But the fullness of all of that will come when he returns. So, while treading this terrestrial, which is the earth, and he gave us grace enough from celestial strength to live as she needs to live. Heavenly strength on this earth is basically commonly put. It just so happens that terrestrial ground and celestial found rhyme, so I used it. That's right. I mean, it seems like a long wait, but it won't be anything compared to eternity. It'll be won't even be visible. Get so many years into eternity, this 2,000 years we've been waiting will be less than a speck. But, of course, you can't get so many years into eternity, can you?
Why you began the poem with the word "and," right? "And was the merchant seeking pearls." It's again.
Yeah, I don't know if that's why. But it's just the idea was in the course of thoughts, in the course of our lives. Now, and wasn't that, you know, as though this wasn't the first time we've talked about things. Any other thoughts or some other thoughts, comments? Well, we're glad to be here and glad that Wilbur's boys made it back safe. And I guess we'll meet here tonight at 6. Lord will. God bless you.
Jesus, How wonderful is my Oh, The Lord is my shepherd, no want shall I know. I feed in green pastures, say folded up rest. He leadeth my soul where the still waters flow. Restores me when wandering, redeems when oppressed. Restores me when wandering, redeems when oppressed. Through the valley and shadow of death, oh, I stray. Since thou art my guardian, no evil I fear. Thy rod shall defend me, thy staff be my stay. No harm shall befall me, my comforter near. No thy pride.